I mentioned this last week, and I want to spend about just the next 30 minutes or so talking about this. How to discern, how to know the voice of God. How to discern, how to know the voice of God. This is a crucial time when so much is being said on so many levels. There are distractions on every level. There are distractions in your home. There's distractions on your job. There's distractions everywhere. And everybody's got something to say. Everybody's got something to say. If there's one thing that social media has done and the platforms that are out there, it's made people think they have something to say. So people are podcasting and they're TikToking and they're using all the platforms and they're saying all kind of stuff. And I want you to know that the church, the body of Christ, is not immune to it. There's some crazy folk out there saying stuff, thinking it's in the name of the Lord. And thank God Jesus said it this way. He said, look, you know, don't worry yourself. At the end, my dad's going to straighten it all out. He's going to sift the wheat from the tare. So it's not necessarily for us to be trying to judge each other. So that's not what I'm talking about here. But those that I am responsible for, meaning those of you that are connected to this house, those that I'm responsible for that are not a part of this house. I oversee a church in Columbus, and I relate to other ministries as well. As an apostle, there is this internal alarm that's going off. Because we as the church are in for a rude awakening. Things are so far down the road in terms of the evil in our culture. The evil scheming in our culture. That it's everywhere. And except that you've been able to live in a space where you remain sensitive to the things of God, you get inundated by it, and then you don't recognize that the power that you have to exercise to bring about change is being diminished because you're looking at things not recognizing it's demonic. You're looking at things and not recognizing how bad things have gotten. And one of the things that's important that I believe God is beginning to move and shift for those who will hear him is to bring us into a space of truly being able to discern his voice and then being able to stand in truth and call what is God, God, and what is not God, not God. It is the word of God that judges. The word says, judge not lest you be judged. So again, I'm not talking about judging, but I'm talking about being able to call things what they truly are. But in order to do that, we've got to be able to hear ourselves. It's in John chapter 10, and it's a familiar passage. It's Jesus talking about being the shepherd of the sheep. So I don't want to necessarily go to that passage, but I do want to refer to it. Because in it, he says this. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. word in the Greek, akou, it means to hear effectively or to perform or grant what is spoken, to hear effectually. You ever talk to someone and you can tell they really ain't feeling you on the conversation by their body language? It's okay to smile. You know, you know, you talking to someone when they like that means something. That means something. This means something. This means something. This means something. But to effectually hear means that you're leaning into it. There's eye contact. I'm really wanting to hear what you're saying so I get out of it what I'm supposed to get out of it. We are living in a time in a culture where except that there is the divine interruption, there is the intervention of Holy Ghost, we will continue to lose generations. We're losing generations. And those of us who call ourselves Christian, we will have to give an account for what took place in our generation and in our lifetime. I was looking at some things just on my phone. And there was a gentleman who was talking about what he modeled before his kids. And it was just very, it was a short little clip, but it just was very poignant. He said, you know, I was laying on my couch and I had my phone and I'm reading my Bible. My kids are watching me. They see me with my phone, but they don't know what I'm reading. So while he has the discipline of the word, those observing him don't know whether he's looking at a video game, if he's on Facebook, if he's on some other social media platform. And you know what he said? He said, so I decided to set my phone down and go get a Bible and open it up and read. What he was saying is, I recognized in that moment, I have to be intentional to model before my children, particularly when it comes to the things of God. Isn't that good? I know it was Holy Spirit that really kind of made that come to him. Now, I'm not saying to any of us, any of you, because most of my study is on my computer because of the software that I have. It can be on my phone, it can be on my iPad, but I will tell you this, there are times when I'll pick up that paper Bible and open it up and read that text or write in that, and sometimes you'll notice I'll bring it with me and I'll have it with me. It's those kind of small things that we've got to be able to hear from Holy Ghost. Hear from the Holy Spirit, because for many of you, most of you in this room, most of us in this room, we're further down the road. And I'll just say it like that. But what about the generations coming up? What about the Ellas and the Mariahs and the Jewels and all of those beautiful young ladies and handsome men that are coming up who really need it modeled before them, but not just modeled before them, you gotta teach them. Are you hearing me? We have lost generations, say generations. Not one generation, we are losing generations. And it, excuse me, and it really has to do with the fact, it goes back to what the scripture says concerning when Joshua died. It says, there arose a generation who knew not God, nor the things that he did for them. That's a dangerous place. So I find myself grappling with the weight and the sense of responsibility to teach and share a word and words that keep us calibrated. For some, it's about the recalibration to a real, authentic, intimate relationship with the living God. It doesn't happen all right here. At best, this opportunity will present the opportunity for you maybe to hear God in the atmosphere of the presence of God. This may help you to be strengthened because you had such a terrible week. I see a few heads. That if I can just get to the house of God. See, there was a time when if I could just get to the house, if I could just get in the company of the saints, then I know I'm going to be strengthened. That's what this time is about. That's why when we made that shift, and Brother Mark came up and began to play, I listened to him navigate in the spirit till he found the line and began to flow with it. And everybody could feel it. It just shifted right into place. And it was like, oh my God. Anybody felt refreshed out of that? I know I did. There was a refreshing that was released. And for many of you, that's what God knows what you need right now. And so he provides that. It should be a place where you can hear, but not the only place where you can hear. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A stranger they will not follow." How to discern, how to know the voice of God. We must be taught. And we must become disciplined in hearing him. It's in 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3. Verse 1, it says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened all the time of Eli. It happened at all the time as Eli was laying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not gone out." And I want you to notice something about that particular statement. Because here's a man who could discern God's voice, yet his life, his choices, caused him to not be in the place, to be able to respond as God would have him respond. Vision dim, couldn't see well, but he still knew the voice of God. It says in Samuel, was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here am I." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." But he said, I did not call you. Go lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and he went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now listen, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He hadn't been taught, nor the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. Samuel was a child. So he really didn't recognize the voice of God because he hadn't been taught how to discern the voice of God, nor had the voice of the Lord been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, I called you. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you. He's giving him instruction now. That you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in the place. Then the Lord came and spoke and stood and caused, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. The Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I'm about to do a new thing. I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. How do you discern the voice of God? I want to submit to you just a few things out of this text that are important for us, not only in this season, but as we continue to walk out our lives. What Samuel was missing was experience. Eli had the experience, but Eli was no longer considered one that God would use. Samuel, who was dedicated to God from birth, his mother Hannah, said, If you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you. But what Samuel needed was the experience of someone older who could speak into his life, give him direction, and help him to know this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to posture yourself to hear God. This is how you want to respond to God. Samuel kept hearing a voice, but he kept making the voice out to be Eli. There are times in our lives where there are specific voices that we hear, specific voices that we rely on. And yet there comes a time when God says, I'm trying to talk to you. You and me. Not you, grandma, and me. Not you, daddy, and me. Not you, mommy, and me. I'm trying to talk to you now. If we have done well as parents, guardians, grandparents, if we have done well, we have been the voice for a season. Are you hearing me? God using us, speaking through us for a season. But we are leading them into a place to be able to hear for themselves. It's challenging, and it's become more challenging because of the times in which we live and all the voices that are out there. In many ways, as believers, when it comes to raising up future generations who love God, who will serve God, who will fulfill the purposes of God in their generation, we are at a disadvantage because of all the other voices and all the other influences that have been made available. And that's why there is the need to be prudent in what we are allowing, what we are making available. We are inundated with information, and it, in many ways, is destroying our culture. How do we begin to turn it around? Well, first it starts with acknowledging there's a problem. How do we begin to turn it around? It starts with acknowledging that there's something that needs to be fixed. It starts with acknowledging whatever part we've played in it getting where it is, that we own that, that we repent of that, and that we begin to seek God as to how we can be the righteous influence that we're supposed to be. We have grown in a way, and not necessarily a bad way, but here's what I want us to understand when it comes to hearing and discerning the voice of God. Every word you hear shouldn't be coming from a prophet. And everyone that calls themselves a prophet is not a prophet. Just like everybody that calls themselves an apostle is not an apostle. I don't even call myself it. I don't want to be labeled among them. Just call me by my name if you like. I know who I am. I know what I'm called to do. Let my actions prove out my assignment and my authority. Thank God for the reemerging of those fivefold areas: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But there is so much out there right now, again, we're talking about with this social media stuff, that makes people think they've got something to say. Because you know what? You seeing your own image played back to you does something to you psychologically. It's like seeing your image on a big screen. It does something to you. It can make you think you got more to say than you really do have to say. It's like having a picture blown up of you, a really big picture, you know, that's on display. I understand marketing, so I'm not speaking negatively. I'm saying what it does to our psyche. And when it comes to hearing, any word you hear prophetically needs to have an inner witness on the inside that tells you this is God. Are you hearing me? But you will not have the inner witness except that you spent the time with God so that you have a sensitivity to his voice. There are many that are going to have to give an account for what they said was God prophetically to other people. That's why we can't be quick. You don't want to be quick to say, I hear the Lord saying. I hear the Lord saying. I know that sounds real spiritual. Maybe you do hear the Lord saying. But here's the way you really want to put it. I believe I hear the Lord saying. And so you say it. And you submit it as, let the Lord confirm that for you. Now, why would I say it like that? Because here's a truth. We all are flesh. We all have experiences. Every word spoken of God is pure until it comes to us. Stay with me. This is not an indictment. This is a recalibration. Every word he speaks is pure until it comes to us. That word, when it comes to us, be it for you or be it through you, now is filtered through your life. It's now filtered through your experiences. It's now filtered through where you live with God. And so therein lies, for you, for me, is to have the kind of relationship with God that is based on history, based on experiences that help us to know that what is being spoken to me, I know this is God because I know his voice. This is one of those recalibrating words. This is a daddy word. This is a father word. This is an apostle word. We'll talk to you about purpose and destiny and all that God has in store for you and all he's going to do through you and all the things that are coming to you and the upgrades and all that. We'll talk to you about that. But as the apostle of this house, I need to keep us circumspect. I need to keep us right on line. We are a prophetic house. We are offering things and we're doing things to help others come into the awareness. And that's, excuse me, that's a wonderful thing. But we have to be very clear ourselves. Because what's being offered right now in the world is destroying everything about our culture. And only the kingdom of God can make the difference. Only the believers can make the difference. And it's important that we understand it and that we get engaged in new levels and in new ways. Because the reality is, everybody born has a void inside of them. And that void is going to be filled by Christ or it's going to be filled by something else or someone else. Samuel did not know the voice of God because he had not been taught. It wasn't modeled before him. And so generations are now operating without being taught, without the example set before them. And God is requiring of us to make the shift, make the change, and begin to turn things around. You have to know that discerning and hearing the voice of God first starts with you and your time with Him. It starts with you and your time with Him. How much time do you really spend with God? How much time do you spend just being still in His presence? How much time do you really spend just worshiping Him and allowing Him to impart to you so that so that when you are in certain environments, even it may be your assignment. I'm saying as believers, we're supposed to be in every area. But what causes us to function in every area and not be influenced by it in a negative way is because we've spent time with God. We spent time in His Word, and our spirit man is built up and able to handle it so that you can be the voice of God in that situation, so that you can be the voice of reason. You can be the one holding up the righteous standard just by your presence. You ever just been around somebody or some folks and just your presence makes them nervous? Just makes them nervous. I don't know what it is about you, but you know, you just make me nervous. Well, you got issues then. I don't know what it is about you. It takes time. It takes patience. You've got to be able to discern and know the voice of God for yourself and for others. It takes opportunity. That God moves you into a space, into a place, or He speaks something to you, and as a result of your obedience, you recognize that was the voice of God. That's when you mark that down. Or you find yourself in a space, in an environment, and you don't want to be like, remember, it was when Jacob said, I was in the presence of God and didn't know it. He knew it after the fact. Sometimes we wrestle with God because we don't know it really is the voice of God. That's what happened with Peter. It's what happened with Ananias and Saul. You remember, Saul has the experience on the road. He's blind. All while he's having that experience, Holy Spirit is speaking to Ananias. Hey, there's a guy coming that you're going to minister to. His name is Saul. Ananias is like, wait a minute. Do you know who that guy is? Do you know what he's out there doing? And yet, what he's hearing is God, but it took a shift that he had to make. It took a shift that Peter had to make if he was going to go to Cornelius' house. It's out of the opportunities that you come into the place of knowing his voice. So let me give you these 5 points real quick that I think are key for us in hearing and obeying the voice of God. Number one, you got to be open and willing to receive new revelation. God is speaking. He's always speaking. He's not a stagnant God. You got to be open and willing to receive new revelation. God always wants to reveal more of himself to us and through us. But he's looking for those who he can share his dreams with and his thoughts. It's when we're open, then we can hear the things that he's saying. I believe these are keys that must be considered in order to hear his voice. You got to be open and willing to receive new revelation. Say new things. I get tickled every time I'm riding down this street. This happens to be Tylersville. It's up north here. And there's a church that sits off to the left, and it's a church that's clearly been closed for quite a while, and probably, well, I'm not going to say that. But the name of the church is Old Regular Baptist Church. How many of you know they opened a revelation? Old Regular Baptist Church. My mind went to, what is that? And no reason, no wonder they're closed. We laugh about that, but let me ask you the question. How quick are you to change when you're hearing God speak? The unfortunate reality is many live beneath what God's intended because when he spoke, they never really heard him. They weren't willing to hear him. It starts with a willingness to receive new revelation. Secondly, being willing to change. Willing to change. Our word, our vocabulary in the kingdom is repent. Repentance is not a negative thing, it's not a negative word. It simply means to change. And if we are going to hear and obey his voice, then we must be willing to change. Repentance means the change. It is the prerequisite for salvation. You are saved because you repented. You are saved because you changed. You are saved because you recognized without a Savior, you would be lost. We would be lost. Change the way you think, you change the way you live. Change the direction you are going. Change the way you think, you change the way you live. One of the biggest challenges for the disciples were they had to keep adjusting as more of the kingdom is revealed. It's the same with you and I. The more the kingdom of God is revealed, the more likely you and I will continually change. Because one day you saw it this way, and the next day you see it another way. And you recognize the way I see it now doesn't mean that this was bad. It just means things have changed. Another key to consider in order to hear the voice of God and respond in obedience is be willing to take a risk. Be willing to take a risk. The price of hearing involves taking a risk. More often than not with God, it's because whatever he shows us, whatever he speaks to us, is beyond us. God always wants to move in your life and in my life in a way that continually proves to us who he is and who he can be. And often in that is take the risk. The price of hearing involves oftentimes taking a risk. And it's a lot easier to hear him when you've already decided to take the risk. Our willingness to take a risk is sometimes all we need to experience the supernatural power of God. Take the risk. As a matter of fact, this was a statement that I said many years ago. It was this: illogical instructions for miraculous results. If you're going to hear the voice of God and obey the voice of God, you got to settle. Sometimes some of the stuff he says is just going to be crazy. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be the kind of stuff that you don't want to tell anybody till after it's over. And let me pause on that point for just a moment. The scripture says that there is safety, there is just wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So there are times when you need the counsel of others, you need the wisdom of others. Then there's some things that God says to you that are just for you. And you trying to get others to weigh in on it will hurt you more than help you. And so you have to be very discerning about what is being said, because unfortunately, we have the propensity to live our lives in a way that even though it's God talking, I need so-and-so to confirm it. I need to get a consensus. And sometimes that can work against you. Hearing the voice of God comes over time. It comes after many, many, many experiences in God. As we have the opportunity to raise up future generations, the more we can model it, the better they will be, and hopefully the generations that they live in. Hearing and obeying the voice of God may often mean taking a risk. And particularly when he's wanting to manifest his supernatural power. None of us have the power to heal. It is he on the inside of us who has the power to heal. But when Holy Ghost says, lay hands, you can believe he's backing it up. But sometimes it's a little risky because you just don't know. Years ago, I was asked to pray for a young lady who was in the hospital. She had attempted to take her life. I didn't know her. I just knew someone who knew her, who knew me, watched my life, and said, I just believe the Lord told me to tell you to go pray for her. She's in the hospital. She's in a coma. And I walk in. I don't know her. But what I did was, I remembered that in times like that, people can still hear. So by faith and what at that time to me felt a little risky, I just began to talk to her. I began to speak life to her. I began to tell her about the purpose and destiny for which she was created. And I said, and God wants you to stay here. And it was a couple months later that I got word that she woke up, remembered what was said. That's hearing the voice of God, taking the risk. God healed her, and I don't know where she is today or what she's doing today because I didn't know her anyway. As a house, as a ministry, we teach in this area of supernatural works. So part of this word is to help us to remain sensitive because we will be held accountable. Just as the church, the big C, we will be held accountable for what happens in our world, in the lifetime that we lived in it. There are those times of illogical instructions for miraculous results, and over, God will call you and I into those kind of things. Because here's one of the things. While God is consistent, he's not predictable. While he is consistent, he's not predictable. So he may tell you one time, do it this way. The next time, do it this way. And therein lies the need for us, as we're talking about hearing and obeying the voice of God, this is why it's key for us to be very, very, very balanced in what we teach. Because everything is not a principle. Everything is not a do this, you get this. God is consistent, but he's not predictable. And many are missing God because they're operating out of things that have been taught as if God is predictable. When it comes to the ways of God, when it comes to the moves of God, we have to know that he is consistent, but he's not predictable. Just two more, and I'm done. When it comes to hearing and obeying the voice of God, you've got to be willing to suffer rejection. I knew I wouldn't get any amens on that one, but I did get a, I don't know about you, but the closer I began to walk with God, the less folks, friends I had, that they just left. Some of them I left. But when it comes to hearing and obeying the voice of God, one of the keys is being willing to suffer rejection. Rejection must always be considered as part of the price of hearing. Peter had to reject his previous ways of thinking. He had to repent. If he was going to be used by God to minister to the Gentiles, he had to reject years of tradition and customs. He had to be willing to suffer the rejection of his peers. Because you see, he heard from God, responded, God confirmed it by saving all of Cornelius's house. And then when Peter showed up with the rest of the apostles to share what God had done, they rejected what he was sharing until he got to the point of saying, but wait a minute, while I was yet talking, everybody got filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't even get to my closing. I didn't even give invitation. Right while I'm talking, Holy Spirit came upon them. Obedience to the voice of God will very often mean suffering rejection. For that's what Jesus was willing to suffer for you and I. Hearing the voice of God and responding in obedience, particularly when God has given you a word to share or something to do and others are not in agreement, you may have to suffer through rejection. You've got to be in a place in him that even while he is speaking, you've got to be okay with some of the things that he speaks to you that are not in line with what he's speaking to everybody else. Jeremiah, who they called the weeping prophet, Jeremiah was one who, it starts out wonderfully. We like to read that beginning chapter, how that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. And we read that and we read it, and he says, you know, and he says, I'm just a child. He said, don't say that. And he says, what do you see? I see the tree and the almonds and budding. He said, you have seen well. I will now hasten to perform my word. And Jeremiah begins to walk that out. But when you read Jeremiah's journey, he was one of the most hated prophets in his time. As a matter of fact, they just wanted to kill him. Because what he was saying was not what they wanted to hear. And I'm wanting us to understand this point because we are living in a time when we will, the church, need to say some things that the culture will not want to hear. And we've got to be settled in who we are and whose we are and that we are part of an unshakable kingdom so that you don't keep living in a space of trying to fit into a world that doesn't want us. A world that doesn't want you. A world that doesn't want the church. A world that doesn't want Jesus. A world that doesn't want God. Jeremiah had gotten so wearied in it that he just wanted to stop. I'm just going to stop. But he said, I couldn't. It was like fire. Shut up. We are here to make a difference. And it will cost. We are here to make a difference at all costs. Jeremiah just couldn't stop. The most consistent thing that you and I can do when it comes to hearing and obeying the voice of God is that we simply respond in obedience. Every time. Every time. Even when we understand it. Even when we don't understand it. We respond in obedience. We came into this year accelerated kingdom advancement. We came into this year with our word being the next level. We came into this year hearing from some of the voices in our house that this would be a time of new assignments, upgrades, adjustments, shifting, moving into new places in order to be more effective. I'm going to close out by reading this prophetic word from February of 2021. For it's yet speaking. This will be a year of new assignments, reassignments. It will mean letting go of some things. It will mean letting go of past mindsets in order to receive what I am doing and will do in this season. It will be a year of new voices, new faces that I have allowed to remain hidden, kept hidden until now. They will not look like those who have grown, you have grown accustomed to seeing in the past. They will not sound like those you have grown accustomed to hearing in the past. Many of you are a part of the new thing I am doing. You must not allow doubt or fear to hinder or stop you. You must not allow past failures or missteps to keep you from obeying my voice or stop you from accepting the assignments I am calling you to. You must not allow the opinion of others or comments of others to cause you to question my directives to you in this season. You must not second guess me. Many will not understand. Many will resist my plan. Many will resist you. You must not allow that to stop you, for I will affirm by my grace and confirm by my power that my hand is on you. Place your trust in me. Place your confidence in me. Courageously step into this season and know that I am your protector. I am your provider. I am the one who will affirm you, confirm you, establish you, and settle you in this new assignment, in this new season. Father God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for this time today. I thank you for the incredible place that you've led us into. I thank you. I thank you for the sense of understanding and recognizing our need to hear you in a new way, in a fresh way, in very different ways, and not only hear you, but obey you. And so, Father, I pray that this word today and what has been shared has found place in each one of our hearts in whatever way you have intended. And I pray, Father, that your word will come to fruition because you said your word would go forth, not return to you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto the thing that you have sent. So help us now to respond to your word, each one of us, as you would have us to respond, that this word would bear fruit and that fruit would remain. I thank you for it now, in Jesus' name.